The Sentry by Nikolai Lieskov. The Sentry by Nikolai Lieskov. 1. The events of the story which is now presented to the reader are so touching and terrible in their importance for the chief and heroic actor who took part in them, and the issue of the affair was so unique, that anything similar could scarcely have occurred in another country than Russia. It forms in part a court anecdote, in part a historic event that characterizes fairly well the banners and the very strange tendencies of the uneventful period comprised in the third decade of this 19th century. There is no invention in the following story. 2. During the winter of 1839, just before the festival of the Epiphany, there was a great thaw in Petersburg. The weather was so warm that it was almost like spring. The snow melted during the day, water dripped from the roofs, the ice on the rivers became blue, and open water appeared in many places. On the Neva, just in front of the Winter Palace, there was a large open space. A warm but very high wind blew from the west, the water was driven in from the gulf, and the signal guns were fired. The guard at the palace at that time was a company of the Ismailovsky regiment, commanded by a very brilliant, well-educated officer named Nikolai Ivanovich Miller, a young man of the very best society, who subsequently rose to the rank of general and became the director of the Lyceum. He was a man of the so-called humane tendencies, which had long since been noticed in him and somewhat impaired his chances in the service in the eyes of his superiors. Miller was really an exact and trustworthy officer. The duty of the guard at the palace was without any danger. The time was most uneventful and tranquil. The palace sentries were only required to stand accurately at their posts. Nevertheless, just when Captain Miller was in command, a most extraordinary and very alarming event took place, which is probably scarcely remembered, even by the few of his contemporaries who are now ending their days upon earth. 3. At first, everything went well with the guard. The sentries were placed, the men were all at their posts, and all was in the most perfect order. The Emperor Nikolai Pavlovich was well. He had been for a drive in the evening, returned home, and had gone to bed. The palace slept too. The night was almost quiet. There was tranquility in the guardroom. Captain Miller had pinned his white pocket handkerchief to the back of the officer's chair with its traditionally greasy Morocco high back and had settled down to while away the time by reading. Captain Miller had always been a passionate reader and therefore was never dull. He read and did not notice how the night passed away. When suddenly at about 3 o'clock he was alarmed by a terrible anxiety. The sergeant on duty, pale and trembling with fear, stood before him and stammered hurriedly, "A calamity, Your Honour! A calamity!" "What has happened?" "A terrible misfortune has occurred!" Captain Miller jumped up in indescribable agitation and with difficulty was able to ascertain what really was the nature of the calamity and the terrible misfortune. 4. The case was as follows. The sentry, a private of the Ismailovsky regiment named Posnikov, who was standing on guard at the outer door of the palace, now called the Jordan entrance, heard that a man was drowning in the open spaces which had appeared in the ice just opposite the palace, and was calling for help in his despair. Private Posnikov, a domestic serf of some great family, was a very nervous and sensitive man. For a long time he listened to the distant cries and groans of the drowning man, and they seemed to benumb him with horror. He looked on all sides, but on the whole visible expanse of the quays and the Neva, as if on purpose not a living soul could he see. There was nobody who could give help to the drowning man, and he was sure to sink. All this time the man struggled long and terribly. It seemed as if there was but one thing left to him, to sink to the bottom without further struggle. But no, his cries of exhaustion were now broken and ceased, then were heard again, always nearer and nearer to the palace quay. It was evident that the man had not lost his direction, but was making straight for the lights of the street lamps. But doubtless he would perish, because just in his path he would fall into the